I want to begin with a quote from Jesus today, and it's found in John 8 in verse 32. And Jesus came and he said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Now, this is a memory verse that I've known since I was a kid, and I've had knowledge of it. But the older I get, the more I learn what this verse is about. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Why is that? Why is it that knowing the truth sets you free? How is it that that works? How is it that that becomes a reality in our lives? And why is it so important to know the truth? And when I start to meditate on this and think about this, I think of a story that I read many years ago, and I continue to read it today. I've gone back to it and looked at it several times, and it is the story from the life of Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass was probably the most well-known abolitionist in America leading up to the Civil War, but certainly starting his work actually in the 1840s in this country. He was born a slave. And he gives stories and books that he's written, but he gives the story of his life. And maybe the most famous is the narrative of the life of Frederick Douglass, an American slave. And in that book, he details what it was like to be born a slave, what family life was like as a slave, what work life, the endurance that they went through being slaves. And as we have come through this time of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and talking about slavery and freedom, reading the story of a person that grew up as a slave, only knew what it was to be born a slave and to be treated like a slave, without identity, with separation from family, with hard times of constant hunger and of cold, just even the way he can describe just his life growing up and sleeping on a damp clay floor in a house and just feeling so cold. And just taking a bag of grain and just wrapping himself in that bag and talking about just trying to keep warm at night. And you think about the slavery of being told what to do and watching his mother, his family, his friends being beaten and whipped and himself being beaten and whipped because of the unhappiness of a master at any time. And there were cruel taskmasters in this country. And something very fortunate happened to Frederick Douglass, and I want to just allow his words to do it. Now, as he's recounting this and writing this in the book, there is some language that we would consider offensive today, and I've changed that in this quote, but it's in the book as it's written, and I've done it to make sure we're not being offensive, but at the same time, this man's words deserve our listening to, because he describes for us what every one of us humans goes through spiritually when we understand that what Jesus was talking about was not a bondage to physical slavery, but a bondage to sin. For as Jesus said, he who sins is a slave to sin. And when you understand that the taskmasters are not physical human beings, but rather principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, you begin to understand that they have methods to their madness, just as the slave owners had methods to their madness about how to keep you and me enslaved. And today what I want to do is go through this with you and show that there is a solution that Jesus was giving when he said, "You shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free." That this was the solution, not just to the slavery of those that Jesus was talking to. It's a freedom from slavery wherever you are. To know the truth and that the truth will set you free. To know your place, to know who you are in Jesus Christ. And for this man, Frederick Douglass, it was the birth of his freedom. It's what came about in his life because of it. So allow me to share this with you now from the life of Frederick Douglass. So he says from the book, this is from pages 40 to 41 in the book that I have. Again, this is in the narrative of the life of Frederick Douglass, an American slave. He said, "I went to live with Mr. and Mrs. Auld. She very kindly commenced to teach me the ABCs." Now, he was a boy at this point. It doesn't specifically say the age when he went, but he was definitely before the age of 12. He was probably somewhere between ages 8 to 12. And so it says, "After I had learned this, she assisted me in learning to spell words of 3 or 4 letters." And just at this point of my progress, Mr. Auld found out what was going on and at once forbade Mrs. Auld to instruct me further, telling her, among other things, that it was unlawful as well as unsafe to teach a slave to read. Unlawful as well as unsafe. Why is that? He goes on. To use his words further, he said, if you give a N-word an inch, he will take an L. An N-word should know nothing but to obey his master, to do as he is told to do. Learning would spoil the best N-word in the world. Now said he, if you teach that N-word, speaking of myself, again, Frederick Douglass writing this, how to read, if you teach him how to read, there would be no keeping him. It would forever unfit him to be a slave. It would forever unfit him to be a slave. Now, when you start to think about the power of these words and what Frederick Douglass is recording and what he's overhearing when Mr. Auld comes in to Mrs. Auld and says, you need to stop teaching him. You're going to ruin him. He won't be a slave anymore if you start to teach him. Notice what this awakens. He goes on, Mr. Auld, he says he would at once become unmanageable and of no value to his master. As to himself, it could do him no good, but a great deal of harm. It would make him discontented and unhappy. And you know, the reality is, he became very discontented and unhappy. He wasn't content to be a slave. He wasn't happy with the oppression he was living in. And what happened was he awakened. Frederick Douglass writes, these words sank deep into my heart, stirred up sentiments within that lay slumbering, and called into existence an entirely new train of thought. It was a new and special revelation, explaining dark and mysterious things with which my youthful understanding had struggled, but struggled in vain. I now understood what had been to me a most perplexing difficulty, to wit, the white man's power to enslave the black man. It was a grand achievement, and I prized it highly. From that moment, I understood the pathway from slavery to freedom. How is it that the white man could enslave the black man? Keep him ignorant. Keep him unlearned. Keep him unthinking. Keep him busy with someone else's business to the point that he couldn't think, reason, and act for himself. One of the things that Frederick Douglass describes earlier in the book is the life of a slave was to get up early and to work till night. And then after you had spent your day in work, then you had to go back to your abode. And that's when you got to make food for yourself to eat it, to wash up yourself, to prepare your clothing and yourself to be able to go to work. And they kept the hours of sleep super short. You were always tired and exhausted. And when you laid down to bed, it would be everybody who lived in that house laying on a floor. There were no beds. It was laying on a floor. He was laying on mud floor in Maryland. And whatever the temperature of the floor was the temperature he was laying on and all his family. And therein was the reason for the cold and the things that even in the sleep, he would go to bed often hungry. He would go to bed and be cold and then get up and work. And they basically kept you so busy, so tired out, so exhausted, and so uneducated. They kept you fit to be a slave. Now, what Frederick Douglass goes on to write, that I'm not going to read to you from a quote from the book, is that this teaching of Mr. Auld, he prized this so highly because he, as a boy, got to hear the truth of what was keeping him in his slavery and what Mr. Auld wanted to prevent from happening in his life, and his wife did obey her husband. What it set Frederick Douglass to do was do exactly the opposite. More than ever, he was determined to learn to read. More than ever, he was determined to learn what he didn't know. And he set out, as he writes, to make every kid his teacher. Whenever he was out and about, he would help get kids to help him learn to read, to understand words, to understand language, to understand vocabulary and concepts, so that his brain could come alive to the way God made it, to reason and to think and to have intellect and to challenge and to prove. And it was taking him from a place of ignorance, of unknowing, to knowing. It made learning the most important thing in his life. But it wasn't just a matter of learning stuff. It was learning to read with a point and a purpose, to read things that were of value, of things that were edifying, of things that increased his knowledge and understanding. Now, the reality is that in his life, he was just a boy at this time. And he was in a process of learning. But he didn't finally break the chains of slavery in his life as a runaway from slavery until the age of 21. So at least about 10 years or more of his life was spent learning how to become free, seeing what needed to happen to become free, learning who he was, gathering an identity. And at one point he said, he got to the point where he's like, I'm almost sad that I learned to read. I'm almost sad that I became educated, because he said, I awoke to who I am. And now what do I do about it? As a teenager, he felt powerless. What can I do to stop what's going on? He hated being a slave, as we all would. But what could he do about it? And as he continued to grow, and as a new master in his life, Mr. Covey would beat him over and over and over. Finally, in all his learning, after he had gone through the point of being so depressed, he contemplated, should I just end it? He actually learned how to stand up in a place of slavery, to identify his freedom and the dignity he had as a God-created human being, so that he could be free. One of the things that's so beautiful is that when he learned to read, not only did he spend time reading the Bible, but he was understanding of the Bible, and he would teach other kids the Bible and teach them to read through reading the Word of God. And what he came to identify was even the difference between the Christianity of Christ and the Christianity of the land, where one was based on humility and love and on kindness and the goodness of Jesus Christ, and another in the name of Christ came along with oppression and abuse and the harms that could cause one human being to be so cruel to other human beings also made in the image and likeness of God. Now, the thing is about his life and his work is he speaks to us today as Christians still. And even after he wrote this narrative earlier in his life, he was probably, I think it was around 23 to 25 years old when he wrote this book. He's writing this book and he goes back and he said, I want people to understand what I believe of Christianity and religion. Because what he said is there is a difference between the Christianity of Christ and the Christianity of the land. And one was based on practices that went contrary to the very Christianity of Christ. And when we come to know the truth in Christ, it is liberating. It is freedom. And what it comes with is the goodness that is truly the heart of Jesus Christ. And you see, for us, it is not just enough to say we believe in Christ. It is not just enough to call on the name of Christ. It is a life that is given in pursuit of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we would be transformed from slaves to freemen. And the thing is that as Frederick Douglass was looked at, and even the way Mr. Auld with the language that he was using, he didn't view him as human. He didn't view him as created in the image of God. He didn't view him as someone who should be built up, someone who should be edified, someone who should be instructed. Because that does liberate. And it made him have a heart to say, I've got to learn. If this is the pathway to freedom, I've got to. My encouragement to you today, you who hear my voice and hear this message, is are you seeing how slavery can come into your life through ignorance, through not having true knowledge, through not seeking after the truth, how it can come in and enslave you to practices, to the doctrines of men, to the way we do things. This is the way it's done. And having all the traditions of men and not coming to the purity of truth of Jesus Christ, where we come to have a life that is separated by His work in us. Jesus wants you free. He wants you liberated. To break off the shackles of man-made religion, to come to the pure and undefiled religion where we worship not according to the ordinances of man, but the ordinances of God, where we worship Him in spirit and in truth, and where we know what it is to live in sincerity and truth, and where we know what it is to practice the very basic things of Christianity. And it doesn't need to be much more complex, but understand this. That those who want to hold you in bondage and in slavery want to use the very same tactics that they used on Frederick Douglass to keep him a slave. Just keep them busy. Keep them doing other stuff. Keep them living without knowledge. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 19 and verse 2, it says that it's not good for a soul to lack knowledge. It's not good for a soul to lack knowledge. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you turn with me there to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and notice with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing." Who are those who are perishing? But those who are slaves to sin. And he says, whose minds, verse 4, the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. What is this telling us about the slavery of this world and the bondage? About the devil who deceives the whole world, about principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness. When Paul is writing, he's saying, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. That's not where the slavery is. The slavery is going on with principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness. How do you stand against it? You got to put on that helmet of salvation. Right? You got to have the breastplate. You got to gird with the belt. You got to have a sword, the word. You got to prepare your feet with the preparation of the gospel. You have to have beliefs, convictions, principles by which you live and continue to educate yourself in the ways of Jesus Christ to know the word and live the word in order to be free. The great enslaver of the world has set out to keep you ignorant. And keeping you ignorant is not about not filling your head with stuff. It's actually about filling your head completely with stuff. Where you're so overwhelmed with data, where you're so overexposed with so many other things, keeping you busy, keeping you exhausted, that you don't take the time in life to think. The one treasure you should treasure right now in all of this COVID-19 response is this. You have a pause that should be giving you a little more time in your life that you could look and say, this is a time to rebalance. This is a time to set new. I don't have to come out of this the same way. In fact, let's use it to come out of it different. What do we treasure in life? I'll tell you, for me, I am so missing you. I'm missing being together. I'm missing the relationships, the value of the relationships. So how do I come through this time better? How can I be a better son of God in the way I interact with others? In the way I serve others, in the way I humble myself before God and man to be a child of God. To know my identity in Christ and say, my identity was given to me to be a child of God, born again by the blood of Jesus Christ and faith in His blood and His work in my life. I'm born to be something not this, but something more. I need to keep learning to be more like Christ. To be acquainted with His heart, with His mind, with the way He lives and acts. Because my enemy is all about keeping me from doing that. He doesn't want the image of God, the glory of Christ, to shine on me either. And He doesn't want it to shine on you. Now, this should actually give us a little sense of the war that we're in and the understanding of what slavery and oppression is about, because we will be unfit to be slaves of principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness if we accept and embrace the truth of Christ. Are you with me? Are you saying, yes, I want to be unfit to be a slave to the things of this world? Then we have to be going after Christ and going after the truth. Notice what he says, verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's how you come alive. Enlightenment. The truth. What it did was it took a man like Frederick Douglass, who you could say of his circumstances had really no shot, but a glimmer of hope of education and the hearing of the correction to stop it gave him the spark that there could be something more. There's something so beautiful. I just want to read this to you, because there's this quote earlier in the book, and he said this: from my earliest recollection, I date the entertainment of a deep conviction that slavery would not always be able to hold me within its foul embrace. He just had a sense, this isn't for me. I'm not meant to be a slave. I am meant to be free. And he said, in the darkest hours of my career in slavery, this living word of faith and spirit of hope departed not from me, but remained like ministering angels to cheer me through the gloom. In every one of us who has come to Christ, who has seen the light, there should be a constant dating and entertainment of this thought that we are not here to be slaves of sin. We are not here to be slaves of fear. We are not here to be ruled under the oppression of man, but to the freedom and to the glory of God, and to use the liberty we have gained in Christ to do no ill to no man, but to do good, to honor our Father, and to be the children and ambassadors he has placed us on this earth to be. And what Frederick Douglass did in his life was he used his life. I got to tell you how much I love this man, and I never obviously met him, but the respect that I have for a boy to grow up in this environment, for a boy to fight through to freedom, and then as a man literally to fight against his master to the point where he told his master, you're not beating me anymore. And one day they fought for 2 hours, and others tried to help, and Frederick Douglass is like, I'm done. You're not going to beat me anymore. He was still a slave. He was still under the authority in that house as a slave. But he's like, you're not doing this to me anymore. And finally, when he was able to get free, after multiple attempts, he got free when he was 21. He's 21 years old approximately, because he doesn't know exactly when he was born. He doesn't know the birthday. He knows the approximate year, somewhere around 1918. But then it was in 1941, at the age of 24, and I said earlier about the book, he was 26. But in 1941, he started talking to people publicly about what life was as a slave. He was so well educated and so beautifully trained as an orator, they actually thought he wasn't ever a slave. He had become such a different man through his own self-education. He taught himself and learned from God and learned from great thinkers through his readings. He didn't even look, and they said, you were never a slave. No slave could talk like this. No slave could write like this. And when he wrote that book, it was in 1843, he penned that book. But he spent his career doing that. Now, here's the thing. As a boy, he was beaten. As a teenager, he was beaten. He had to fight back to get his own freedom. He ran from slavery. And then, guess what? He starts using his freedom to go around and help people in the United States of America realize how awful this is, to tell the story of what's really going on with slavery, why it needs to be abolished. Do you think everybody loved him? Do you think everybody cheered him? He was physically assaulted many times. In fact, one time the brawl was so bad, he broke his hand and he never regained use of the hand. It was so maligned in the abuse he got for speaking out for freedom. And you see, what I love about this man is not only he fought his way out of slavery, he fought for the freedom of others. And even to his own peril and to his own harm, he didn't just get to the north and say, I'm free, I'm just going off on my own. He used the freedom and liberty to free other slaves. And see, the thing is, the ruling of fear that the prince of the power of the air wants to have in our lives is to keep us shut up and to keep us from stop educating. And he brings along mockers and scoffers to get you to shut your mouth from delivering the truth of Jesus Christ to others so that you'll just go along. But see, people like Frederick Douglass or Harriet Tubman, she's like, I got to go back. But Harry, you escaped. You did an amazing thing. Yeah, but I got to go get others out. And she kept going back and bringing free and going back and bringing the freedom. And she risked her life for the freedom of other people. You see, this is the thinking of free people, because what we're doing is not cherishing a life that means bondage to us or someone else. The bondage can't go on. We must be against it. We must stand against the insanity of ignorance and the desperation of not knowing that comes. Because if you don't know the truth, how are you going to be free? If all you know is void of truth, how will you ever be free? The pathway of Frederick Douglass from slavery to freedom was a pathway founded on the realization that ignorance and a lack of education to the truth will keep you in bondage and content with a life of slavery. We live in a world enslaved not with chains, but with thoughts. A world held captive by unbelief of the truth and to belief in a series of lies that seem so easy to accept as truth, because the very slave master and taskmaster of this world, Satan the devil, along with all the principalities and the powers and the spiritual wickedness in high places, the whole goal is to keep the world in ignorance and darkness, to keep people groping for the light. As Frederick Douglass said, he said, as a child, he said, I knew there was an answer to this, but I struggled. And he said, I struggled in vain trying to grasp this. What's holding me here? And the world doesn't know what's holding, but there are people out there where there is a light, where there is a spirit that's saying, there's got to be more than this. And you see, those are the ones where the word needs to go. Who is it that delivers the word? Freed slaves. The ones that know the truth. So having been a slave and been made free by the blood of Christ, we now find a freedom that is in him. Turn with me over to the book of Hosea chapter 4 and verse 1. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. Now, friends, when we read this, I want us to understand that when it comes to knowledge and learning of truth, this is the thing that is principal, because there's all kinds of learning in this world. But discerning what the learning is, what is going into our hearts, what is going into our minds, the ideas, the thoughts, the principles, the practices, you have to guard your mind. You know, when you think about the law of clean and unclean meats, God said, when you look at a land animal, do they chew the cud? Are they cloven of hoof? Why did he say just eat anything? Why did he even say this is the designation? In other words, you need to look before you eat. He says of the sea animals, if they don't have fins and they don't have scales, they're unclean. You got to eat ones with fins and scales. Why did he say that? What is the point and the principle? I want you to think about it, not in the letter. I want you to think about it in the spirit. He's saying you've got to be discerning what you put into yourself and what you eat of and what you consume. You can't just be throwing a bunch of unclean stuff in your head and you're not going to be impacted by that. What did Jesus say? You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. What if what you know is only lies? What if what you know is only deception? You're going to get out what you put in. Your thoughts, your responses, your reactions. So the more garbage you put in, the more garbage that's going to come out. The more you fill up yourself with things that are unedifying, things that are negative, things that drag down, things of judgment, of condemnation, of critical spirits, things of shame, things of guilt, things of inferiority, of not realizing where you are. My friends, it's these things that keep you enslaved to darkness. Darkness begets darkness. Light begets light. And the things of God, he's saying, I want you to see the light of Christ. I want him to shine. I want the glory of God to shine in your lives, in your eyes, in your minds, in your hearts. Because if the glory of God is shining of Jesus Christ, now you see truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. How are we ushered into fellowship? It is by accepting and believing in Christ and then walking with him. That's why Jesus talks about this heart of abiding. But notice what he says here. He says to the people, hear the word. There's no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint. Because they don't know the way of God. And the only ways they know are the ways of ignorance and untruth. The ways of selfishness, based on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It has been the way of Satan's influence from the Garden of Eden, and it continues today. And no matter how we humanly try to polish it up, when our motivation is based on the things of the world, we become at odds with God. And so swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, with the breaking of the restraint, with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away. With the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Now let no man contend or rebuke another, for your people are like those who contend with the priest. Therefore you shall stumble in the day, the prophet shall stumble with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. The more they increase, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on their iniquity. And it shall be like people, like priests. So I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. For they shall eat, but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry, but not increase, because they have ceased obeying the Lord. The power of truth is to free you from the curses of sin and death, to bring you back to a place of the Lord where you can be free. But it has to be the right knowledge. It has to be the truth. In Proverbs chapter 1, notice with me in Proverbs chapter 1. There is a way that leads to life, and there is a way that leads to death. And Christ has invited us into a way of life to be free. And in the book of Proverbs, through Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, it says here in chapter 1 and verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. I mean, just right there, just realize this is why God's giving us the word, so that what is coming out of us is based on wisdom and instruction, to have understanding, the instruction of wisdom and of justice and of judgment and of equity, to give prudence to the simple, that you would no longer walk around simple and naive and not understanding what is going around us and going on in the world, but to have the freedom and the liberty. He says, a wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. One of the great things that we face in our human lives is the resistance to learn, the resistance to fight through ignorance to truth. And not just truth of knowing what to do, but the truth that is found in those who believe the truth and who will exchange a lie for the truth. See, whether we're talking physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, when it comes to work, when it comes to relationships, there are guiding principles of wisdom that this book contains that, if applied, will produce good fruit, because the things are the seeds of good fruit. But if we don't understand the words and spend the time to dig into it and challenge our own belief in the words, whether or not we believe it enough to live it, it will not generate wisdom. It will not generate right practice or righteousness, because we might still be believing another whole host of things that are in contradiction with this word. You know, we see this happen very simply in our lives in many ways. I can teach you how to wisely invest your money. I can show you principles about how to not be driven by fear or by greed. I can show you how to do it in a way that is proper for long-term growth and results. And I can show you that, generally speaking, this is the way it is taught. And where did I learn it? I learned it from the Bible. About how not to be hasty to go after riches, about how they flee away if you're trying to go after them too much, about how there is wise instruction and that there is good stewardship and to do that. But now listen, if you say, no, I'd rather just spend what I get. I don't even want to think about it. God gives you that choice. You don't have to have a budget. You don't have to save. You don't have to invest. You don't have to do any of those things. But when the bondage comes from finances in your life, and you're now in a prison or in slavery because now you're paying credit card debts, and now you're in too much debt, and now you're living paycheck to paycheck, and now it's become a stress in your life, and now it's become a focus of your life, and now it's become an argument between you and your spouse, and now you're saying, I wish I had money to buy Girl Scout cookies or take the kids out for an ice cream cone, but I don't because I don't have it. And you grow up living in this way. You have to also acknowledge, maybe there is a better way to do this. And if you don't stop to acknowledge the truth and then actually take the steps to apply the truth, you don't get the benefit of the truth. What you know is the limitation of what you can be. But of what you know, the greater limitation is, what do you do with it? I can know how to lose weight, but if I don't take the steps, I won't do it. I can know how to be healthier and in better shape, but if I don't take the steps, it doesn't happen. It doesn't matter what I know. It matters what I believe. Knowledge finds reality in belief. There is a great understanding in the scripture that even the demons know God exists and they tremble. That knowledge didn't yield fruit to righteousness, because though they believed he existed, they don't believe him and apply that truth. In your life, for you and I to be free, it is not just a matter of knowing the theory. It is not just a matter of having the knowledge of how to. It is a matter of believing, of having a why, of having an understanding deep within that you say, this is for me. I wasn't meant to be a slave. My finances aren't going to rule me. I'm going to rule my finances. I'm going to take charge of what I'm doing. I'm not going to be ruled by the thoughts and whims of what is right or wrong in this world. I'm going to seek the law of God and the word of God, because he already has laid out what's right and wrong. There's no new need for new commandments to come forth. The commandments tell you what's right and wrong. If you wonder what's right and wrong, God's already given the commandments. He's already written it down. We don't have to find new. Guess what? There is no new. When it comes to right and wrong, the principles of right and wrong were written by the Creator. They have been lived out through humanity. And in every society, right produces right and wrong produces wrong. It comes with blessing or cursing because there are ways that it is simply right and wrong. It's just the way it is. You can't fight against law. You can't fight against principle. And people who reject the word of God will find themselves on the wrong side of blessing and find themselves in cursing and find themselves in slavery and bondage. And it's your job and my job to say, come be free. Come be free with me. I want to be free. I realize I'm not the master. There's a master who says, come, let me teach you and I'll show you what it is to be free. And his name is Jesus Christ. He is the one. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother. They will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains around your neck. And my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive like Sheol. The whole house, go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We'll fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. They lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. There's the truth. Look out when everyone in the world is enticing you to do something or go along with something that is not consistent with the word of God and the truth. Because what they're doing is asking you to come set a trap for yourself. Come be ruined with me. And God is saying, I want you free. Let's turn now to John 8, where all this started today. In John chapter 8, and notice in John chapter 8, and it says here in verse 31, Jesus said to those Jews, now notice, who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I want you to see how what you know will impact your freedom. Where does freedom really come from? See, the freedom of truth is a liberation that happens that when you believe things that are true, that in your mind and in your heart, there is fertile ground ready to spring forth with the fruit of that knowledge. And just like planting a seed in the ground, if it is nurtured and helped and protected, it will grow and it will produce. It can't help but do it. It is the lesson of the planter, of the seed and the sower. When the ground is ready and the ground is protected and the ground is being encouraged and nurtured to produce good fruit, it works. And all you gardeners with me know this is true. When you take care of what you plant, it does produce good fruit. But sometimes you plant and you get negligent of it and it doesn't produce the fruit that you want. It doesn't become what you would want it to be. See, there is a responsibility that comes with freedom. Freedom brings with it the responsibility to tend to the things that make you free, or you will for sure go back into slavery. It might not be the same form of slavery, but it will be slavery nonetheless. Because where lies are planted and where falsehoods enter in, they also will produce fruit. But here's the thing about lies and falsehoods. They're the default of life. Because we live in a fallen world that is enslaved since the beginning when man chose to reject the word and wisdom of God for the word and wisdom of the devil, the wisdom of the world became, what do you want? and that became what pleases you. And the wisdom of the world has never changed being based on what do you really want? What's going to make you happy? Just do what you want to do. And that driving force has been driving away from God because God is saying, no, you don't just do what you want to do. You do what's right. You do what's just. You do what's equitable. And if in doing all the right things, you do what you want to do, now it's good. See, now it does no harm to anybody else to do it. There are things that give life, not only to yourself, but to others. There's things that can bring death, not only to yourself, but to others. And so there is a planting that comes in the planting of this world. The default way of it is to easily produce a weed, to easily produce a tare, to easily get so filled in your fields with things that don't produce anything good. They just take up the space. And what happens in our lives is the devil loves when our lives are full of weeds, of stuff just taking up the space of our hearts and our minds. Because in that there is ignorance, and in that there is a lack of fruit. And who can partake of anything good in your life if what the field of your life is a knowing what to plant but not doing it. And really it's just a field that's growing a bunch of tares that aren't producing anything someone else can partake of. You are involved in this process, knowing the truth. You are what you know and believe. Your actions will always follow what's going on inside. If you believe in lies, what will come out is delusion and injury, falsehood and hurt. If what is going on inside is truth and you're believing that above the lies, what can come out is righteousness and peace and love. There is a fruit to be born from you. And to understand the difference between a slave and a free man is to understand the difference that where you become free is in the heart first. It wasn't about Frederick Douglass fighting off his master, running for his freedom. That didn't come first. It was born years earlier when he understood, like, the pathway to freedom is inside. This heart, this mind have to be educated. They have to know the truth. I have to discover who I am. And once I have the right knowledge, now I can be free. And it was the knowledge that brought him to the greater discontentment to say, I need to be free. It was the discontentment of his knowledge that brought him to the place where he's like, I'm not doing this anymore. And it sent him out, but not only to freedom, but to a heart and mind that had been trained for the freedom of other people. And my friends, you and I have been trained and are being trained to come to the truth ourselves, to embrace it and to share it. It is part of our lives. Do you see the higher calling that God has put on you by saying, you were a slave? You get that, right? What did Jesus say here in chapter 8? Notice what he says. Verse 34, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Most assuredly. There's no doubt. If you say, I've sinned, I've committed sins, I've repeatedly done things that are wrong, then you have to acknowledge that you've been enslaved to sin, enslaved to the lesser power of principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness that are in high places, rather than the higher power, which is the glory of God in Jesus Christ. And Christ came to set you free from the lower bondholders, to set you free, to not believe their lies, to let go of that deception, to make you wise, to make you prudent, so that you wouldn't walk into the snares of the devil, but you would go the ways. And the devil, he will try to hold on to you through more and more lies, and he'll try to hold on to you through more and more fear to keep you in oppression so that you will not accept the truth. There should be no fear in death to a Christian. We should live our lives with an understanding that, yes, we're going to be wise. No, we're not going to be foolish. But in this life, we do not fear death, because when you and I believed in Jesus Christ, we passed from death to life. And when I die, my next waking moment, in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye, I will be with Him. And I have no fear of that. That is what I'm living for. I am looking for my true north. I am looking to run to the north, which is where Christ is. And in Him I live and move and have my being, and so do you. And embrace the freedom and the life that God has given you. Embrace the truth. It will set you free. And the thing is, we don't have to wait to say when we get there we'll be free. No, you can be free now. Just like again with Frederick Douglass, you've got to be embracing and seeking the truth. Are you becoming a responsible learner? Seeking the truth, seeking the knowledge of Christ, going after Him and saying, this is where it's at. I don't want the lies or the deception of the world. They want to keep you busy. They want to keep you distracted. They want to keep you all over life without ever coming to truth. And realizing this, one of the greatest deceptions that Satan does, even with the words of truth, is to try to get you to use the truth apart from love, from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. So that's what Paul said the purpose of the commandment is. You find your full liberty not just in knowing what the truth is, but when the truth is expressed out, as it says in 1 Timothy 1, from a good conscience, love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, from sincere faith. Love from a pure heart, good conscience, sincere faith. That is an expression of life. See, I hope that I can take of that and give that to you. That's what I want my relationship to you to be. I want to help you. I want to love you. I just want to be thinking about you, praying for you, be concerned with you. I am here as a servant. I root for you. I want your success. See, the way the world is, they look at people that are going in successful ways and they get envious and bitter. In the way of God, it's like, I want everybody in my life, go higher. I just want to push you up to better heights. And hopefully your Christianity is saying, I just want to push you up to bigger heights. And you see what a beautiful thing is when we make it our aim and purpose to say, I just want you to go to higher heights. And you know who's in the midst of all that? Jesus, He's holding all of us up and He's pushing all of us up. By His strength and might, His whole purpose was to take us from dust to glory. That as we have borne the image of the man of dust, that we would bear the image of the heavenly man. No one is more on your side than Jesus Christ. So it is what you know. So now listen, what you are is what you know. What you are is what you know. So what are we supposed to do? Seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. Right? Seek first the kingdom of God. The grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Seek that. As the Apostle Paul said, I count it all loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. To go after Him and say, I'm stripping away the things that have been holding me down. I'm tired of the things that want to yoke me to the world. I'm tired of the things that say, if we can just keep Him stupid and watching that nonsense or being entertained by those silly things. You know, when you're stuck in your home, you have an opportunity to live life for freedom or slavery. It's really easy. What are you doing with yourself and the time that you have with your mind? How are you training yourself mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically? How are you training yourself to know the truth? It would be a missed opportunity to come out of this no better off than you went into it. There's an opportunity to learn. And so if all you are is what you know, then all that you have learned and all that is within you is the limit of where you can be right now today. You don't know the answers. 25 years ago, I didn't know one single thing about how to help myself or my family take the money that we were making and use it as a master to basically send it out as my slaves. Every dollar that you have comes in to be your servant or your slave. Now, if your dollars are chasing you and you're never having them and you're always chasing them, well, then they become the master and you become the slave. And when you live life chasing dollars and worshiping dollars, you realize, well, that's one way to live, but wouldn't there be a better way to do it? What if we turn the tables and I say, I don't want to be a slave to money. I want money to be my slave. To take it and make it work. But do you know how that happens? By learning. You have to think. You have to reason. The Bible is full of wonderful instruction about how to manage your finances. But do you do it? You might know it, but do you apply it? And my point to you is this, that if you don't even know what to do, you can't do anything about it. If you don't know what to do, you can't do anything about it. You are stuck at the limit of what you know. If you don't know this word, my friends, you have to start reading it. You have to get into it. You have to dig in it and seek the voice of God. Because if you don't know, how can you be expected? Years ago, I was in a Bible study and somebody was talking about how they were fornicating with somebody as if that wasn't a big deal, even though the Bible actually talks about fornication a lot. And the question came up, so have you ever considered what the Bible says about that relationship? And the answer was, no one ever told me. Now, the person hadn't read it, but they had never been taught it, at least that they had heard or wanted to acknowledge, according to their witness, that they had been taught about not fornicating, not committing sexual immorality. If you don't know, maybe you just go because, well, that's the way people do it, right? And that is where the difference between what the religion of the land is and the religion, or what I could say, the Christianity of Christ is. If there's ignorance to the truth, you can be living in sin. You don't even know. My people, God says, are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because they pursue not his knowledge, but the world's. What they're taught is the way of sin. And the priests, the teachers, the pastors, if they don't teach the word of God and the truth that is in it, they are teaching the children of God to continue to live in sin as if it doesn't matter. But God says it does matter. And we are to come to know the truth. So all you've learned is the limit of who you can be. So what does it mean? If all I can do is based on where I know today, the way for transformation is I need to learn more. That never stops. I need to learn more about Jesus. I need to learn more about how to be a better man. I need to learn more about how to be forgiving. More about how to be kind. More about how to be selfless. More about how to give of myself. More how to be a better husband, a better father, a better person. See, God says, I want you to continue to learn that you wouldn't be enslaved to the darkness, but rather be freed in the light, that you can be freed. Because the point is, there's a freedom that comes through Christ when we look at him. He wants us to abide in him. He wants us to be set free. He wants us to see who he is. Where are you today in your relationship with Jesus? Where are you today when it comes to knowing Christ and the ways of Christ? Not just with a knowledge, but the knowing that comes with living. See, the acquaintance and the intimacy that God has called us to is to be so acquainted with him that we choose to walk with him, and where he goes, we go because we want to be with him. This is the heart and essence. And let's finish here today. So many more verses I wanted to get to today, but let's just finish this in John. And notice with me in chapter 14 and verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. In other words, this is the love of God that we keep His commandments. This is the love of God that we keep His word. But this love is a freeing love. It's a freeing love. Because God gives us the dignity and the liberty to choose life or death, blessing or cursing. That's your choice. But He says, but if you go with cursing, you're going to be feeling the pain and slavery and bondage of that. You can come to know the truth and understand that there are things that produce life and things that not. And don't let any man trick you to think that there aren't laws that govern all of this. Because the very laws that set a man like Frederick Douglass free and brought him to a place of redemption from slavery and brought him to a place of preaching a gospel of freedom from slavery are the same things that will work in your lives. These aren't a mystery or dark things anymore. I hope we don't struggle, but we learn like he did that when the revelation of the knowledge of truth comes and the application of it in our lives, that that will set us free, that that would be a daily driving force. How am I building myself mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, spiritually, to be the vessel that God wants me to be on this earth in whatever I do, to seek to walk with Him, to seek to be blameless, to seek to be in the riches of Christ, that I may be rich on every occasion, that I may have a storehouse of good emotion, encouragement, positive heart, positive attitude, to build up, to edify other people. You are freed by Christ for this purpose. And if you know the truth will set you free. Know it. Know it as your own. Know it that you can live it as your own and be the men and women God made you to be. Freed for everlasting. A child bearing His name for all eternity.